If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to join me in the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 5 today, beginning in verse 26. And if you're able to, I'd invite you to stand as we read God's word this morning. Then the captain left with his guards and brought the apostles back. They didn't use force because they were afraid the people would stone them. The apostles were brought before the council where the high priest confronted them. In no uncertain terms, we demand that you not teach in this name. And look at you. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to hold us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than humans. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted Jesus to his right side as leader and savior, so that he could enable Israel to change its heart and life and to find forgiveness for sins. We are witnesses of such things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When the council members heard this, they became furious and wanted to kill the apostles. One council member, a Pharisee and teacher of the law named Gamaliel, well respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be taken outside for a few moments. He said, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you intend to do to these people. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and some 400 men joined him. After he was killed, all of his followers scattered, and nothing came of that. Afterward, at the time of the census, Judas the Galilean appeared and got some people to follow him in a revolt. He was killed too, and all of his followers scattered far and wide. Here's my recommendation in this case. Distance yourselves from these men. Let them go. If their plan or activity is of human origin, it will end in ruin. If it originates with God, you won't be able to stop them. Instead, you would actually find yourselves fighting God." The council was convinced by his reasoning. After calling the apostles back, they had them beaten. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, then let them go. The apostles left the council rejoicing because they had been regarded as worthy to suffer disgrace for the sake of the name. Every day, they continued to teach and proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Christ, both in the temple and in houses. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. You may be seated. I realize we kind of jumped into the middle of a story here. So much is happening around this in the book of Acts. If we would have started a little earlier in this chapter, we would discover that the apostles were regularly gathering together in kind of a public part of the temple. And there and everywhere they went, they were telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're told that each and every day, more and more people are being added to their numbers. Not only are more people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, but people are being healed from all kinds of physical ailments. There were some people who were so desperate for their loved ones to be healed that they would place them on a cot and bring them and set them alongside the road so that as Peter passed by, his shadow would touch them. And it's implied that those people are also being healed simply when Peter's shadow passes over them. Now, you and I know it's not Peter's shadow that's healing them. It's God who's healing them. But the power of God is at work in such a remarkable way that even when Peter's shadow passes over people, there are people who are being physically healed. What we get in all of this is this picture of the life-giving power of God at work through the Holy Spirit in the early church. And the power of God is moving so powerfully and so rapidly that there is nothing that can stop it. There's a group of religious leaders who are kind of jealous of everything that's happening here. So they have the apostles arrested publicly. This isn't the first time we've seen some of the apostles get arrested. We talked not long ago about a different time when Peter and John were arrested following a healing, but the threat of being arrested again has not prevented them from actively sharing the gospel. And as we read at the end of the verses we read a few moments ago, the threat of future arrest will not prevent them from continuing to share the gospel. They are committed to sharing the truth of Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead. I want to just say something about truth. Truth is not an ideology. Truth is not a political belief. Truth is not even correct doctrine. Now, hear me out on this. Correct doctrine's a really important thing. But it's not our doctrine that saves us. It's Jesus who saves us. Now, understanding and knowing who God is helps us very much. But Jesus is the one who saves us. Truth is Jesus Christ. And so for us to proclaim truth is not just to proclaim about Christ, but also to do so in the manner of Christ. The message and the method go hand in hand. Does this make sense what we're talking about here? We can say all the right things, but if we don't do it as people of God's love and grace, then we may be teaching correct doctrine, but we are not proclaiming the gospel. What we learn as we read through the story in Acts chapter 5 is that after the apostles have been arrested, and an angel of the Lord comes and leads them out of prison at night. The next morning, the high council convenes, and they send the temple guards to go get the prisoners and bring them before them. And so the temple guards go to the prison, and the jail guards are standing guard, and the doors are locked, and they go in, but there's no prisoners. Around this time, somebody comes to high council and says that the prisoners, the ones who were arrested the day before, are out there in the temple teaching people that life comes from Jesus. So the temple guards, who are in charge of guarding the temple, go to the temple where the apostles are teaching. This time, they don't want to make a public show of arresting them, because those same crowds who are desperate for Peter's shadow to pass over them, those same crowds are gathered together in the temple, and these guards are worried that if they make a public spectacle, that they themselves might be stoned. So I think they kind of just asked them to come with them before the high council, and the apostles did. You know, it's kind of funny to think about this whole story. There's a lot of significant theological significance to this prison escape. We are reminded that while the world has power to bind, God is the one who has power to set free. And God's power is greater than any earthly power. Even if we can't see it from our vantage point, God's power is greater than the powers that we know in this world. That doesn't mean that the powers of this world are going to stop trying to do what they're trying to do. In fact, the apostles, as we read, would be beaten before they were sent out. You know, it reminds me, it's all too easy for them, and also for us, to have a certain hubris that believes that we are the masters of our own little worlds. That if we can nurture the right relationships, or if we can save up enough money, or if we can navigate through the systems and structures of this world, that somehow we can control our own future. This passage begs the question, who really is in control? I've preached on this passage before, and this is usually where I try to focus my attention, and rightly so. Because there is no situation in which we can find ourselves that God is not able to work in and through. Amen? Doesn't mean that our situations always turn out the way that we want them to, but God can work in spite of that. But today, I want to look at something a little bit different here. When the apostles came before the council, they made some pretty bold statements. They said, we must obey God rather than obeying people. And they proudly said that God had raised Jesus from the dead. And then they said that they were witnesses to this, which means that not only did they know that God had raised Jesus from the dead, but they had experienced the resurrection power themselves. That's what it means to be a witness. They'd experienced this for themselves. And because of that, it was affecting the way in which they lived their lives. They couldn't help but be changed because the resurrection of Jesus Christ was something that had impacted them personally. Because they'd experienced it, they were willing to risk everything for the sake of the gospel because the gospel had changed them. We see that because even after they're beaten and sent out and told to share no more, what did they do? They shared everywhere they went, in houses, in streets, and even back in the temple. Nothing could dissuade them because they had experienced the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I think about that, I find myself drawn to a word that, for some reason, we don't say in the church very often anymore. Evangelism. We don't talk about evangelism in the church very often anymore. I suppose I can understand some reasons for that. There are some who've tried to evangelize in probably some ways that aren't very healthy. There are some who go around waving a finger saying, you better turn or you're gonna burn, right? I remember some years ago when I was running the Portland Marathon, I kind of settled in with a group and we were only like 8 or 9 miles into the race, and so we were talking. If you've never run a marathon, the first 20 miles are warm up, it's the last 10K, that's the real race. So we were talking and there was a guy on the side of the road who had a sign. It was pretty clear that he considered himself a Christian. And I don't know what other way to say it other than to say he verbally accosted the group of us that were running, made statements about us and to us. I remember thinking in my head, I sure hope these other guys I'm running with don't ask me what I do for a living. Because I'm not sure how I could talk to them in light of what we had just experienced here. So I've realized that sometimes we might be a little hesitant to talk about our faith because there's people who just haven't done it well. I also know that sometimes we might be hesitant to talk about faith because we don't have all the answers. And we're unsure what we would do if somebody asked us a question that we don't have answers to. Or maybe we just want to allow people to kind of find their own way. But here's my question for us today related to this. Have you simply heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Or have you experienced the good news of Jesus Christ? Because to experience the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives, it changes who we are. It changes the way in which we live our lives, because if we've experienced that, we can't keep it inside of us. Some years ago, when I was pastoring in Michigan, I had a couple that I was working with for premarital counseling. And the groom had grown up in the church, and he felt very favorably towards the church, although he didn't come all that often. His bride-to-be did not grow up in the church. She wasn't opposed to the church, and she would come with him from time to time. And one of the times when we were meeting, we were talking about children, and they'd expressed their desire to someday have children. And so we were talking about some of the things to consider and to talk about in terms of children. And one of the questions was, are you going to raise your children in the church or not? The groom said, well, I sure hope so. I mean, the church has meant a lot to me, and I think it would be important for us to raise our kids in the church. And his fiance said, well, I don't know about that. My parents didn't raise me in the church. They allowed me to decide for myself. And I kind of think it might be good for us to not like force this on our kids, but to let them choose something for themselves. I said, okay, well, I think I understand some of what you're saying. You want to be respectful. You don't want to be forceful. Let me ask you a question, though. Whose children do you think, your children or mine, are going to be more likely to be runners when they grow up? And they kind of laughed and they said, well, we're pretty sure it would be your children. I said, whose children do you think, yours or mine, would be more likely to purchase a Jeep and enjoy spending weekends four-wheeling? They said, well, ours, definitely. So, well, what do you think, though, if I have kids and they don't want to run, but they want to buy a Jeep and they want to go four-wheeling, do you think I'm going to be upset about that? They said, no. So what if your kids want nothing to do with Jeeps and four-wheeling and they want to be runners? Are you guys going to be upset about that? They said, no. I said, well, then why do you think my kids are more likely to be runners and your kids are more likely to be four-wheelers? So, well, because you love running and they're going to see that and experience that. And we love to spend time in Jeeps, four-wheeling, and our kids are going to experience that. So you're exactly right. So when you love something and you show that to others, often people are drawn towards that. It doesn't mean you're forcing it on them, but none of us are raised in a vacuum. You know, when we've experienced something that's good, we often want others to experience that. A couple months ago, when we came here to be your pastor, I received a basket with lots and lots of cards. And as I was reading these cards, I noticed something really interesting. I didn't have a single card that said, we're so glad you're here, but we don't want to unfairly influence you as to what restaurants you might like. So we are choosing not to give you a gift card. You know, you said, hey, this is one of our favorite restaurants, and if you go, you should try number 8. Said, this is a restaurant that your wife and daughter will probably enjoy, so this is a gift card just for them, but here's one for you and your son. Go and enjoy this. Why did you do that? You did that because these were places that you've enjoyed, that you've experienced something good and you want us to experience that as well. You're not forcing that on us, you're just sharing that with us. If you found something good, whether it's a restaurant or a song or a store or even a meme, and you think somebody else is going to enjoy it, you have a tendency to share that news with those around you, right? When you have something in your life that's good and you think others will benefit, you don't keep that a secret. So if you've experienced the good news of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life, why wouldn't you share that with others? There's one other part to this story. There's a man by the name of Gamaliel who we're told is one of the greatest teachers of his day. Everybody looked up to him and he gave some pretty good advice. He said, listen, let's not get too worked up over this. Because if God isn't in this, eventually it's just going to fizzle out. But if God is in this, then there's nothing that we can do to stop that. You know, I think that's pretty good advice. I've followed that advice sometimes as I've tried to discern what's maybe happening. But I think there's also potentially another side to this that I want us to consider, and a lot of it hinges on attitude, and I'm not pretending to know what Gamaliel's attitude was. But there's a part of me that wonders if maybe the reason he wasn't sure if this was something of God or not is because he was too far back. He'd removed himself too far so that he wasn't able to see where God was working because he was standing too far back. You know, for a good portion of my life, I lived in the Midwest. So if we wanted to see family, we got on a plane and we flew from wherever we were in the Midwest out to the West Coast. It's not all that exciting flying across the middle part of the country. So I'd often just read, especially as we took off and began our journey. There were a handful of times, though, when we lived in the Midwest when we drove across the country. And there are parts of the country that are not very fun to drive across, too. But it is more interesting to drive across those parts of the country than to fly across them. And when we were driving, there were points along the way when we would stop and get out of our car and explore. And we would see things in those moments that we could never see from our car. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about today? You know, sometimes the farther away we get from something, the harder it is to see what's happening there. And there's a part of me that wonders if maybe Gamaliel had just removed himself too far that he wasn't able to see what God was doing. What it does seem, though, is in contrast to the disciples who were willing to risk it all, Gamaliel chooses to play it safe. Let's just not do anything and see what happens here. He chooses to sit back and play it safe. And here's my question for us today. When it comes to your faith, are you one who's willing to risk it all? Or are you one who just likes to sit back and play it safe? Are you willing to radically step out in faith for the sake of the kingdom? Or do you sit back and just watch and see how things are going to work out? As I've been thinking about this some this week, I've also been thinking about our graduates. I've been thinking about our graduates from NNU. And I realize for most of you, I hardly know you. I haven't been here very long. But I want you to know I'm cheering for you. And even if I haven't met you yet, I'm cheering for you and praying for you. I think about our graduates from NNU, but I also know that we have some who in a few weeks are going to be graduating from high school. Graduations are typically significant times of change. For graduating from high school, we're often leaving a place that we've called home for 18 years. For graduating from college, we're leaving a place that we've called home for 4 or 5 or some other number of years. Either way, we can find ourselves leaving a place that has become familiar. And when we leave a place that's become familiar, and when we step into something new, there can always be a temptation to conform to that new place so we can be accepted, so we can get along, so that we can fit in. And my question for you today is if you've experienced the good news of Jesus Christ, if you've experienced the power of Christ's resurrection, let me challenge you. Don't play it safe. Be willing to risk it all. I realize that saying being willing to risk it all could cause you to ask me, but what if that costs me a lot? What if that costs me everything? I want to remind you that God so loved the world that he sent his son, who willingly laid down his life for you and me. It did cost Jesus everything. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And here on this Sunday, the day of the resurrection, we are reminded that God can work in those moments. I'm reminded of the promise we have in the book of Romans that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is what is at work in you and me. The apostles didn't play it safe because they were witnesses of the gospel. They had experienced it for themselves. They had been set free. They'd experienced what God could do in their lives. And because of that, they couldn't help but live differently. So for all of you today, whether you're a graduate or not,
Do you remember what your life was like before Jesus? Or can you imagine at significant moments in your life when decisions were made, how things might have been differently were it not for Jesus in your life? And if you can remember the impact that the power of Christ's resurrection has had in your life, then may we be witnesses willing to risk it all and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much that you are a God who has sought us out, who found us and met us in those places where we had no hope on our own. And by your grace and power at work within us, you've set us free and transformed us into the new creation. And God, I pray that by that same grace and power at work within us, that you would give us the courage and boldness to share your good news with those around us. Lord, we love you today and we worship you in your name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we respond? above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Would you join me for our benediction today? As we go, we acknowledge that we can't live godly lives. We can't go and be Christ's witnesses through our own strength and power. We need God's grace, and we also need one another. And as we go, may you go in the grace and peace of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.